beating himself to the balls, her muscles clamped around him like a tight fist.
Jesus, babe.
He had needed this, her, so badly. He sought out those brown eyes that he knew would have that wild, stormy look in them.
Jax, I need to fuck you hard.
His tone made it clear it would be rough and fierce.
Good.
His nostrils flared, his eyes darkened, and then he was pounding into her with jackhammer thrusts. She had to bury her face into the crook of his neck to try to muffle the endless stream of moans, groans, gasps, and sobs that were literally erupting from her throat. Minutes later, a huge, lingering orgasm washed over her, but he didn't stop. He continued to surge into her in that masterful way of his, building the friction within her again. Connor knew that the press of her nails into the flesh of his back was drawing blood, but if anything, it only spurred him on. Like he needed spurring on. He was hanging by the thinnest thread, but he didn't want it to end. It had scared him that she seemed to want time away from him. He needed this, needed to be inside her, needed to hear her moaning his name, clinging to him, coming apart around him.
Connor, I'm going to come again.
He pounded even harder, clutching her ass even tighter as he did.
Now, Jax.
Her release ripped through her entire body, shattering her. She sank her teeth into the juncture between his neck and shoulder to muffle her scream.
Christ, babe,
he growled as her muscles clenched around him and triggered his own forceful climax. When his brain eventually switched back on and he was finished gasping for breath and being rocked by reverberations, he kissed her gently.
Admit it. You missed me.
She tried to hold back a smile, but half of it surfaced.
Maybe a bit.
Though he'd confessed his weakness for her, Jackson couldn't bring herself to do the same. It was worth noting that if she did, he'd shit his pants, thinking she wanted more. But that wasn't her reason. She couldn't do the same because whereas he'd walk away from this unscathed, she wouldn't. He missed her because she was his addiction. Addictions could be cured. He'd walked away from her once before and been just fine. She missed him because she cared about him too much for her liking. That wouldn't go away. She knew that because she'd cared about him this much since she was 12, even when he'd left. Still, she was resolute that if her feelings ever evolved into something stronger, she'd be gone faster than Houdini out of a knot. Chapter 13. After a shower to wash away the after-effects of their food fight, a shower during which they savored the joys of oral sex before having another shag for good measure, Jackson and Connor collapsed onto the luxurious bed in the chalet. Jackson could only assume that they had been a little noisy because Anna was blasting one of her CDs ridiculously loud. Either that, or she and Warren were using the music to disguise the sounds of their own fun. She was glad that the couple was no longer in danger of arguing. After all, it wasn't Warren's fault that Connor was a lunatic. A lunatic who had gone striding from the restrooms with Jackson slung over his shoulder. He'd been too impatient to get her out of the restaurant, and her legs had been too unsteady after their reunion in the ladies' room to match his pace. They had tried apologizing to the maitre d' for the food fight, but he actually thanked them for their dispute, suspecting it would get his restaurant new publicity.
Ow!
Whined Jackson as Connor sharply tugged her to him, snuggling her naked body into his. She was surprised when he did nothing more than hold her comfortably close and play with her wet ringlets.
How long you staying? I was thinking of leaving Monday, same as you.
So this really isn't just a stop off to get his jollies. Jackson couldn't decide if that was a good thing or a bad thing. The 14-year-old girl in her was absolutely thrilled and reading all kinds of crap into it. But 22-year-old Jackson knew better. It was likely that even if he had missed her, something she wouldn't have believed if she hadn't seen it in his eyes, his main reason for coming was that he was too possessive to cope with the idea of other blokes being around her without him being present. And there was the fact that he was insatiable.
How's the holiday been going? You and Anna enjoyed yourselves so far?
We've had a right laugh. We've moved on to the intermediate slopes now.
Yeah? Do me a favour. Don't take it too hard when I beat your ass on those slopes tomorrow. You were always a bad loser.
You were the bad loser. I remember you swiped the board when I was winning at Monopoly. That time when I beat you on the go-karts, you didn't speak to me for about an hour. He chuckled, idly drawing circles on her back with his index finger and marveling at how soft her skin was.
You must be thinking of Roland.
I take it you've been skiing before?
Not in France, but yeah. I went with Dane and Warren a few times before Dane married Nikki. I'll begrudgingly admit that Warren's the better skier. You ever been abroad before?
No. You know, I never picture myself going skiing. A lot of things Jack said made Connor feel like he'd had a punch to the gut. He'd been abroad more times than he could count. To think that each time he had been away having a ball with his mates, Jack's had been all alone, concentrating on nothing more than getting by.
Or did very nearly come to see you once, you know.
His voice was low, full of regret.
It was your 15th, the first birthday I'd missed since meeting you.
At the very mention of that birthday, she stiffened. It doesn't matter. She tried to think of a subject change, but the memories of that day hit her too hard. He felt her tense. Had he really hurt her that much? He hated himself right now.
I didn't stay away because I didn't care, Jax. It was just... I had this vision of going to see you and...
Subconsciously, he held her tighter.
You either laughing at the fact that I'd even turned up, or seeing you with someone. I'd have beaten them to a pulp, Jax. I wouldn't have been able to stop myself. I figured you were better off without a person like me in your life.
She was glad he hadn't turned up that day. Even though she had come to terms with what had happened, it wasn't something she enjoyed sharing, and there would have been no way of keeping it from him if he had come. But if he had turned up even once before that day, then so much may not have happened. She had never truly put any blame on Connor, especially because that would mean absolving others to some extent of their actions. But if he hadn't done what he did to those boys before leaving, if he hadn't made them want revenge so badly, then maybe... No, she wouldn't dwell on the what-ifs. Pain was just a part of life.
You're miles away, Jax.
She tensed again, and he noticed that she was still keeping her eyes tightly shut, as if afraid her secrets might shine from them.
Look, I was wrong to expect you to tell me the ins and outs of everything. I just hated that you didn't feel like you could confide in me the way you used to. But I see that's my own fault. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not going to pressure you to tell me anything again, but if you ever want to...
That stunned her. It didn't sound like Connor. Warily, she opened her eyes and saw only sincerity in his. As if to assure her it was the truth, he brought his lips to hers. It wasn't one of his demanding, dominating kisses. It was soft and drugging, and she felt herself relax.
There's something I need to know, Jax,
he said as he cupped her face.
I need to know that you believe me, that I never touched that selfish bitch.
She found that she actually did believe him. Even though she hadn't allowed herself to think about him or their argument during the holiday, it was almost as if a part of her brain had been subconsciously sorting things out. He was right about her sister. Leah hadn't been able to form a sentence that didn't have some deception in it. Jackson had always preferred to believe those lies than believe that her sister would have this need to hurt her all the time. I believe you. He gave her another drugging kiss, this one filled with relief. Hoping to escape the subject now, she said, I need to get some PJs on.
You'll have my body heat to keep you warm.
He dragged the pile of blankets and bulky duvet over them.
Now sleep.
Sleep? You're... going to stay with me the whole night?
Mm-hmm.
But...
Jax, sleep.
He knew what she was thinking, that this wasn't something he did, that there were other rooms. He didn't want to properly acknowledge that he actually wanted to lie with her and simply hold her while they slept, or that he liked the idea of her being there when he woke up. He'd never seen the attraction in that before. He didn't want to explore why he did now. With morning came the discovery of the magic of morning sex, something Connor intended to make the most of during the remainder of the trip. If he was right, and Warren was itching to comment on Connor having slept in the same bed as a woman the entire night, he held himself back. Wise man. After breakfast, they all bundled up warm. There was no stopping the smile that spread on his face at the sight of Jax. Even though she looked like she was about to go strolling on the moon, she was absolutely adorable. Amazingly, her movements were still as sensual as always.
"You're dying to laugh, aren't you?" observed Jackson. "What I'm dying to do is rip all that stuff off you," he said as he grabbed her waist and yanked her against him. "I don't like knowing there's that much between your skin and mine, and I really don't like that I'll have such a big job getting to your body."
"The hard work will do you good."
"It's going to be a lengthy job. Maybe I should start it now."
"Jackson," Anna yelled from her bedroom. "Your phone's ringing." Jackson dashed from the living room to her own bedroom and dug deep into her bag.
"Morning, Oliver," she greeted as she answered.
"You know," began Ollie, "I really shouldn't be surprised to hear that you had a food fight in the middle of a posh restaurant, but I actually am."
"I take it the paper's got wind of it."
That was going to make the maitre d' very happy.
"I'm looking at a very interesting photograph of you with a face like thunder drowning Mackenzie in red wine."
Jackson suspected that Connor wasn't going to see the funny side of that photo having been seen worldwide.
"He ruined my sweater."
"You told me it was just you and Anna going on this trip."
"That's because it was the truth. Connor and Warren paid us an unexpected visit."
"There's also a photo of him carting you over his shoulder out of the ladies' restrooms where, according to the tabloids, you both had been arguing."
"At least they thought that it was arguing we were doing," she mistakenly said aloud.
"What?"
Moving quickly onwards, "We did apologize to the maitre d', but he was ecstatic about the idea of his restaurant getting publicity. I take it the tabloids see us as nothing more than wild animals now."
"Actually, it's gone a positive for you."
She noticed that Ollie didn't sound very pleased. He obviously still didn't approve of her and Connor.
"How?"
"Do you have any idea how many couples sitting in restaurants suddenly, for one reason or another, have an overwhelming urge to throw food across the table? They don't do it because they fear making a scene, something I wouldn't expect you to understand. They love that you and Mackenzie shoved society's etiquette aside like that, and of course they like to see that you're a normal couple, as they're still under the impression it's an actual relationship, who argues just the same as everyone else. Are the boys still there?"
"Staying till Monday." Ollie groaned.
"I don't like that he showed up like that. I don't like this caveman crap that he pulls. I don't like that you haven't made him go home."
Jackson mocked. "I can't help it, Daddy. I love him. Please don't make me give him up.
All right, fine. I'll see you Monday."
When she joined Connor, Warren, and Anna outside the chalet, it was to find them studying her ski map. Connor gestured to all the markings she had made with a red pen.
"Are those all X's, the slopes you've been on?"
"No, it's where I hid the bodies."
Shooting her a playful snarl, he fisted his gloved hand in the snow and launched a clump of it at Jax. That sparked off a grand-scale snow fight between the four of them, boys against the girls. When 20 minutes went by and neither side showed any signs of weakening, they agreed to a tie and headed off to rent Connor and Warren's skiing equipment. Jackson might have been a bit put out to discover that Connor was just as good a skier as he had claimed to be. Confident, smooth, skilled, if it wasn't for the fact that he seemed to have forgotten she was such a quick learner. He'd therefore been shocked to see her competence level on the slopes. When she bettered his timing, it wasn't a good moment for Connor. It was a great moment for Jackson.
What had been even greater was seeing Anna's delight at Warren being genuinely proud of her skiing abilities. Even sweeter, although he was an expert skier, he had insisted on staying with Anna the entire day on the intermediate slopes, wanting that time with her. Warren then instantly went up in Jackson's estimations. And suddenly, at the sight of Anna's happiness and the playful scowl on Connor's face, Jackson was glad that he and Warren had come. They decided to try a different restaurant that evening, and then afterwards they went to one of the bars. It was one that Jackson and Anna hadn't tried yet, and to Anna's delight, was open until the early hours of the morning. Jackson was surprised by how stylish the interior was. Despite the massive use of color, nothing clashed, and the decor was perfect for the atmosphere. Sporadically situated around the bar were clusters of leather sofas framing artistic, white, snowball-shaped tables that had a flat surface. It was while Jax and Anna were in the restrooms and Connor was at the bar with Warren that he heard a friendly male voice behind him drawl his name. Connor turned to see, just as he had known he would, a fellow F1 driver.
Kev.
They slapped each other's back in greeting, as they usually did. After Kev and Warren exchanged greetings, Kev asked,
"So have you been, Con?" "All right. You?" "Great, yeah. I'm over here for my birthday. I'm having a private bash upstairs in the VIP room. You and Warren should come up."
Before Connor could respond, three women and two men surrounded Kev, and he quickly began making introductions.
"Connor, you know my girl, Lorraine, and her sister Kim. Next to Kim is her bloke, Roy, and a mate of mine, Peter. And you must recognize this one."
He gestured to an incredibly sexy blonde whose single had just reached number one in the charts. Connor had seen her a few times before now. A singer. She shot him a seductive smile that was filled with sexual promises. She seemed about to say something to him. In fact, she might have done. But his focus immediately shifted to the husky laugh and the, "Isn't that just bollocks?" that traveled through the door of the restrooms ahead of Jax. Again, he was torn between smugness and irritation when heads turned to look at her. She was looking as sinfully gorgeous as always, dressed in a black satin dress. But once her eyes met his, he was thinking of nothing but her. As usual, his need for her hit him like a sledgehammer, stealing his breath. All he wanted to do was roll up that dress, snap her thong, and then drive deep inside her. It always left him with the same feeling. Like coming home. Suddenly, he was very homesick. As she and Anna headed toward Connor and Warren, Jackson sensed the sudden tension in Anna. Following her gaze, she saw a woman who was eyeing up Connor and standing a little too close to him. For once, Jackson didn't struggle with the identity of the celebrity. It wasn't a face you could forget. Lottie Rivers, the platinum-selling solo artist known worldwide, was, without a doubt, one of the most beautiful people Jackson had ever seen. To her surprise, Connor snaked an arm around Jackson's waist as soon as she neared him, making her senses suddenly hyper, and the lust she was feeling intensified tenfold.
"I hadn't believed it," said Kev. "Kim told me it was in the papers that you were all loved up, but I said no way."
Jackson wasn't surprised when Connor tensed at the word love. Most males would, especially if the relationship wasn't serious. She bit his earlobe and squeezed his ass. He was then officially distracted.
"You up for it, Connor?"
asked Kev, gesturing to the indoor balcony of the VIP room.
"Come on, you can't refuse the birthday boy." "Jax, Anna, this is Kev, a mate of mine. He's having a party upstairs."
"You should come. It'll be a good laugh," said Lottie. "To Connor."
Jackson saw that he was intending to say no because of Lottie. As much as the last thing she wanted was to be around this floozy, she wasn't going to let it show. Not to her, not to Connor. It would reveal too much about what she felt.
"Are the drinks free?" she asked Kev.
"All night."
"It would be a crime to turn down free ale."
The VIP room was similar to the floor below, but the furniture was better quality and practically everything sparkled. A mix of blue, silver, and white balloons decorated the place. Dozens of them were resting on a net that was hanging above the dance floor, obviously intending to shower the dancers at some point in the night. There was an extravagant buffet, but it wasn't yet open, to Jackson's disappointment. She wasn't sure who was more surprised when Connor laced his fingers through hers, him or her, but he didn't release her hand as they strolled to a table, and she didn't retrieve it, not even when they parked themselves next to each other on a leather sofa. Strangely, the contact felt nice. Of course, his usual possessiveness was there in his manner, but it wasn't beating at her, suffocating her, tiring her. It made her feel safe and protected. For a short while, Kev, Lorraine, and Kim spent some time talking to them. Jackson found them to be pretty down-to-earth people. Kev actually made her think of Roland, only he was without that geeky intelligence that she found Roland so adorable for. While the boys talked cars, Lorraine and Kim asked Jackson and Anna about modeling and Ollie. Then Lorraine begged Jackson to tell her if the rumors that once circulated about her and Bruno had any truth to them. Instantly, Connor, who had obviously been keeping one ear on the conversation, tugged her to him and said he wanted her to himself now. Rather than be offended, Lorraine and Kim had said, "Aw." Jackson didn't see what was sweet about that. It occurred to Connor that he had been experiencing a lot of first times on this trip. Here was another. He actually felt uncomfortable by the presence of an ex-acquaintance. He didn't remember much about her other than her name was Elena. Or maybe it was Elaine. Suddenly, he actually felt ashamed of the life he'd led. A life that he would at some point go back to, but he wouldn't go back to it the same person. No, because Jax would take a chunk of her with him when she left his life. She just wouldn't know it. Jackson picked up as easily on his discomfort as she did on the snarl coming from the voluptuous redhead at the bar who looked ready to gouge someone's eyes out. "I can't work out whether that snarl is directed at me or you. I take it that you were going through a period of having low standards when you shagged that one."
"I forgot how cute you are when you're jealous."
Her eyes snapped up to his. Amusement was plastered over his face.
"Jealous?"
"You've got that same look you used to get when we were younger, whenever that girl who lived next door used to shout, 'Hi,' to me. You even called her a slut for it once."
She ignored Warren and Anna's chuckles. "I just didn't like her, that's all."
"I only used to smile at her to wind you up, so I could see that look on your face that you're wearing right now."
"I'm not jealous. I just don't like being snarled at, which I'd say makes me pretty normal."
"Forgive me for not feeling sympathetic. I have to put up with you getting ogled all the time. Not that I blame the oglers, especially when you're in that dress that is, in fact, a creation of the devil. Come here."
He leaned in, but she shuffled to the other end of the sofa.
"No, it's about time you learned to exercise some self-control, Mackenzie. Besides," she pointed at the bottle, "I don't want to take advantage."
He leaned in again.
"Have the advantage, take it. I don't want it."
"Hands off, you randy sod," she giggled. "I need a pee. I'll be back in a minute. Hopefully you'll have some self-control by then."
Anna got up to follow her, but then paused as she reached Connor. Seeing that Jackson was out of hearing range, she said to him,
"Don't give her any more emotional bruises."
His brow creased.
"Excuse me?"
Yeah, it was fair to say her words had come out of nowhere, but as she'd watched the playful exchanges between Connor and Jackson, she'd sensed something. Jackson loved him. She just didn't realize it yet.
"I don't want her hurt."
"Are we really having this conversation?"
Was he really being given the talk by an 18-year-old girl?
"People meet her and think she can't be hurt. So did I, but I've learned that what makes her tough is that when she is hurt, she deals with it."
"I don't need a lesson on Jax, all right? I know her a lot better than you do."
"Oh, so then you know why she shies away from social touches? You know why she refuses to celebrate her birthday? You know why the smell of vodka makes her wince?"
His expression asked her to verify she was serious. She nodded.
"I'm just making the point that you might have known her inside out once, but you've been out of her life for 8 years.
And he hated himself for it.
"Has she ever talked to you about
About whatever went on that makes her hold a huge piece of herself back from everyone? She shook her head. But something happened to her, Connor. Something bad. I can tell that much. I've never asked her about it. I know that if she wants to tell me, she will. But I'm starting to think it's not something she'll ever want to tell. That's what you have to accept. You might never know.
He sighed. Look, if it makes you feel any better and puts an end to this awkward talk, I've already told Jax I won't pressure her again. The arrangement we have is simple enough, so I don't see how she can be hurt.
Anna regarded him through narrowed eyes. When she had first seen Connor acting weird and possessive with Jackson, she had thought it was because he wanted her to belong to him. But soon she realized that he believed she was already his. She couldn't understand how he could be prepared to walk away from someone so important to him.
If either of you think that telling yourselves it's not a real relationship means you're emotionally protected, you're kidding yourselves.
With that, she quickly made her way to the ladies' restrooms, only to find Jackson conversing with someone begrudgingly. Lottie spun and smiled at Anna, offering a, "Hi there." Her voice was friendly, but Anna detected an undercurrent of deviousness.
"All right, Anna," said Jackson, observing her apprehensiveness.
She couldn't blame her. This woman had something to say, and Jackson was getting brassed off with how long Lottie was taking to spit it out.
"Lottie, this is Anna. She's also a model."
"I don't know how you guys do it. I'm forever getting my photo taken, and it drives me insane. I could never stand there all day in various poses. But we use what God gives us, don't we? Even when he doesn't give us much to work with."
Jackson almost growled. Although the words sounded harmless enough, there was an insinuation in her tone and gaze that said there wasn't much more to models than their appearance, something which Anna feared Warren believed. It wasn't the only buttered-up insult Lottie had delivered in the past few minutes. This was what annoyed Jackson so much about this world. It seemed that no one was straight with anyone, and for some reason they seemed to think that backward insults were very clever.
"You know, I heard that most singers aren't actually singing live, even when they claim to be. Is that true?"
A brief, quiet laugh escaped Anna.
"I suppose it must be to stop you from getting things like laryngitis all the time."
Although Lottie hadn't yet managed to intimidate Jackson, she didn't let it faze her.
"I'll admit my career choice isn't all rosy. It's definitely not the best lifestyle. You hardly sleep, hardly have any time to socialize because you're just constantly on the road."
"It must get a bit lonely," said Anna with fake sympathy.
"Oh, yes, it does. Whenever I've had a boyfriend, it's been disastrous. They expect to come first, and I didn't work so hard to get where I am to push it all aside like that, you know?"
Anna and Jackson both nodded, silently wishing she'd just come out with it.
"And you never know who's around you because they want to be, and who just wants what publicity will be in it for them if they are."
Again, Anna and Jackson nodded.
"That's why I've always understood why people like Connor McKenzie and Dane Andrews live the way they do. No attachments, no commitments."
Live the way they do, not used to do.
Oh.
Now Jackson understood what Lottie was all about. She didn't believe that Connor had suddenly changed just like that. Jackson had to give her credit where it was due.
"I tried to tell Anita Donovan that, you know," Lottie quickly added.
"You know Anita?"
asked Anna, barely keeping the growl from entering her voice. Jackson had told her before they left for France all about that nutcase.
"It was so sad how things ended between her and Connor." Lottie shook her head. "But I had warned her that it was the only way it could end if she pushed things with him."
Jackson forced a dramatic yawn.
"Oh, sorry. It's just that people who don't say what they really mean bore me so easily."
For a moment, Lottie was lost for words. It wasn't often that people weren't intimidated by her, and Jackson Carter certainly wasn't. Now that her eyes had that famous, feral gleam, Lottie was feeling even more ruffled. Finally, she collected her thoughts and straightened to her full height.
"I just think you're foolish if you're anything like Anita and think that you and Connor are really anything serious. People like Connor McKenzie and Dane Andrews don't change. Take it from someone who's just like them.
Hmm. Anna crossed her arms. Funny you should say that. Dane's actually married now. Did you not know?
If she recalled rightly, his wife's name was Nikki. Jackson had told Anna about how Dane and his wife had Anita staying with them where they could keep watch over the living time bomb. Lottie sneered, but before she could think up a smart retort, Jackson was speaking.
Sorry, hang on, said Jackson. You think you and Connor would be a perfect match. Is that what, in so many words, you're trying to say?
Oh, no, giggled Lottie. I'm not looking to get involved with anyone, but I'll be honest with you, I've got every intention of using him for a while once you two are over.
You're very confident he'll want you, commented Anna.
A snicker popped out of Lottie.
Oh, he'll want me.
Vanity always made Jackson wince.
Oh, don't let my presence stop you from making your intentions clear to him.
She swept a hand out in the direction of the door.
I'm sorry?
I'll head over to Kevin Lorraine with Anna. That'll give you undisturbed time with him.
He's not exactly going to do anything with you here.
You obviously don't know Connor if you think that. He does what he wants. The end. If he wants you as much as you say, you'll be taking him home with you tonight, won't you?
Jackson held back her instinctive reaction to slap the tramp. If she hadn't held back, it would have looked as though she was intimidated by Lottie and insecure about Connor, giving weight to everything Lottie was saying. In truth, Jackson was a little intimidated. Lottie was beautiful, even if a high percentage of her was silicon. And Connor, as Lottie had pointed out, preferred his sex life to be the epitome of simple. So, yeah, of course a part of her was panicking that he would take his out now, that he would say, "It was fun while it lasted, Jax."
You're giving me permission to come onto your boyfriend?
Don't tell me you're not as sure of yourself as you say.
As Jackson fully anticipated, Lottie didn't back down. She gave a carefree shrug that said, "You brought this on yourself." As Anna watched a hip-swaying, ass-wiggling, hair-flicking Lottie stroll out the door heading for an unsuspecting Connor, she knew that whatever he did now would decide whether he was allowed to keep both his bollocks. Oh, Jackson wouldn't castrate him if he chose Lottie. No, she would say all's fair in love and war and wave him off. But Anna, if he hurt Jackson, Anna would castrate the bastard.
Hi.
The seductive, sickly sweet voice came from behind Connor where he stood at the bar with Roy. He turned to see the sexy blonde from earlier licking her bottom lip and eyeing him as though she was a chocoholic and he was a Cadbury's Dairy Milk bar. Lottie something or other.
I didn't get a chance to introduce myself before. I'm Lottie. Lottie Rivers.
Rivers? No, he wouldn't have guessed that was it. When she held her hand out, he just stared at it. Why did Americans always like to shake hands? He might have taken it just to humor her, but her expression, the tone of her voice, and her body language all made perfectly clear what she wanted.
I'm with someone, which you already know.
Lottie dropped her hand, but refused to drop the issue.
Yes, I've met Jackie.
He didn't bother correcting her. He would bet she knew what Jax's name really was.
I was just telling her I'm a good friend of Anita Donovan.
It was impossible to miss the flicker of pure hatred that passed over Connor's face.
I told Anita not to expect anything from you, she quickly added, but she was convinced there was more to things.
Her seductive voice slithered over him. Her finger played across her impressive cleavage, drawing his attention to it.
If you have a point, make it.
She didn't let his abruptness put her off. Instead, she stepped closer to him, making sure she rubbed her breasts against his arm.
My point is that I know you like things simple. So do I. The way I see it, you and I can help each other out.
He now had a perfect view of those plump breasts. Very plump breasts. The word plump couldn't apply to anything else about her. She was tall and slender and was a woman who obviously kept in shape. And yet he wasn't interested at all. If there was no Jax, he definitely would have been. Lottie was extremely attractive and exactly the type he usually went for.
but compared to Jax, she was ugly as sin. There was no one who could compare to Jax, could ever even come close.
Like I said before, I'm with someone.
He gave Lottie his back. Had he really just dismissed her? Lottie gaped. No one had ever done that before. Was this what it felt like to be ordinary? She wasn't being rejected, she assured herself. He must be under the impression that Jackson would fly into some sort of rage. Lottie had heard she was temperamental like that.
You don't have to worry about her. She sent me over here.
That had Connor pivoting on the spot.
What?
I told her I was interested in you, and she encouraged me to tell you and let you decide for yourself who you wanted.
Oh, she did.
A smile crept onto his face. He could believe that. Jax wouldn't show weakness. Plus, she'd find some kind of morbid enjoyment in the discomfort this would put him through. After scanning the place, he spotted her chatting to Anna. Without removing his eyes from her, he began edging through the throngs of people toward her. As though she sensed his gaze, she looked right at him, and that was all it took to send a fierce, primal need rocketing through his veins, demanding release, demanding her. Not any woman. Jax. There was no denying that she had utterly ruined him. She was, without a doubt, the most amazing creature. And he had no idea how he would give her up. That wicked smile of hers had his dick hardening to painful proportions. He crowded her body with his.
I've just had a very uninteresting conversation with a blonde who swears you gave her your blessing to come on to me.
Jackson did a mock gasp. Should I not have? I just figured it wasn't my place to warn her off when we aren't technically in a relationship.
He leaned his forehead to hers.
We said there would be no one else while we're
having casual sex. Yeah, I remember. She shrugged. Still, it seemed only fair for you to know who's interested in you for after we've finished and you're...
At the very idea of that, his control slipped. He grabbed her by the nape and mashed his lips with hers, thrusting his tongue inside her mouth as he wanted to thrust himself into her body. Each stroke of her tongue against his seemed to be dragging him down deeper into the place where there was only her. He groaned.
I wish we were alone right now. Let's just go.
No, you can wait, she laughed.
Don't make me throw you over my shoulder again.
If you do that, everyone will know I'm going commando.
His eyes fell closed and he groaned again.
It is such a good thing I hadn't known before now, or I'd have lost my grip on my sanity long ago. Time to go, babe.
Can't we try reining ourselves in like normal people?
He ground himself against her as he spoke devilish words into her ear.
I need you, Jax. Don't you want my fingers inside you? Don't you want my tongue licking you and tasting you? Don't you want me to fuck you hard the way I know you love?
His whispers were making her wet. Not good. Connor, she said in a reprimanding tone, but he kept up the whispering and grinding.
All right, enough, she eventually snapped.
He was delighted that, as usual, he got his way, which just made her want to punch him right in the face. That was until they got back to the chalet and he did all the things he promised. Then she just wanted to collapse in his arms and sleep right there like that. And she did, with him holding her to him, something he did for the remaining nights of the trip. Chapter 14. It was little more than 10 minutes after Jackson and Connor's session of morning sex, their last ever morning sex, she couldn't help but note, was over, that she heard her phone ringing. Once upright in bed, she answered.
Hello?
She swatted the hand that reached around her and cupped her breast.
I've checked your flight details,
said Ollie,
and everything's on schedule. No delays.
Good.
The boy still with you?
Was she being paranoid or did he not sound his usual self?
Yeah, they've managed to get themselves on the same flight as us.
If Anna wants Warren to take her home from the airport, that's fine, but I'll be picking you up.
It was completely non-negotiable, his tone told her. Hang on a minute, what's with this abruptness? A short pause.
It's just important that I speak to you before you go back to your apartment.
What? Why? She stood sharply, bracing herself for whatever impact was to come.
Just trust me, all right? It's important I speak to you first.
Not good enough.
I'll be waiting at the end of the terminal. Don't dawdle.
For Christ's sake, Ollie, what aren't you telling me? But he was gone. Pacing the room, she dialed his number, but his phone was now switched off. As was Richie's, as was Tony's. The bastards.
What's wrong?
It was the third time Connor had asked her, yet he still got no response. Rising from the bed, he approached her and seized her gaze.
Who are bastards and why are they bastards?
She exhaled slowly, hoping to calm herself. Basically, Ollie doesn't want me going back to my apartment without seeing him first. He said he's picking me up from the airport. Something's wrong. I could tell by his voice, but he won't tell me what. Conveniently, his, Richie's, and Tony's phones are currently unavailable. He wanted to tell her it was probably nothing, but the fact that no one was willing to tell her anything until they were face-to-face with her didn't sound good. Before he could say another word, she was dragging out her suitcase and slinging her belongings inside. He tried to calm her down, as did Anna, but their efforts were futile. Connor wasn't surprised. He suspected Jax would be fine if she knew what had happened. Sure, she'd be swearing and cursing all over the place, but she would be all right. It was that she didn't know what was wrong that had her like this. She couldn't deal with it because she had no idea what she was supposed to have to deal with. The not knowing was cracking her up and leaving her the space to imagine all kinds of things. As such, neither he, nor Anna, nor Warren had been able to offer her any words that would reassure her. Her uptight, nervous mood stayed with her, which brought her problems while going through airport security. Connor was thankful that the guards were more amused than offended during the brief body search when she told them to get their grubby hands off her or they would each lose a bollock. Her mood also earned her anxious looks from other passengers. If they hadn't recognized her as a celebrity, they might have mistaken her for a suicide bomber or something. When they finally reached the end of the terminal at Heathrow Airport, Connor half expected her to launch herself at Ollie and throttle him, going by the murderous expression on her face. Clearly, Ollie was just as worried because he immediately raised his hands in a placatory gesture. It didn't help him.
"You bastard," she hissed when she neared him.
"Shh, let's go somewhere private," urged Ollie.
"Oh, not a sodding chance," she whispered abrasively. "Either you tell me right now what's been going on, or we'll be testing how well you can balance on one bloody leg because I'll have snapped the other one."
He sighed.
"Someone broke into your place last night, trashed it, and scrawled words all over the walls in corn syrup. Obviously hoping it would look like blood, which it does."
Anna gasped. Warren said,
"You're joking."
Connor let loose a string of curses. Jackson just stared at Ollie. Ollie saw the question in Jackson's eyes.
"Mostly die, bitch."
Why Anna and Ollie thought they could talk her out of this, Jackson had absolutely no idea. Connor hadn't even tried. He knew that she was the type of person who didn't shrink away from the bad stuff. She faced it and then took it on the chin. That was how she got past it. Ollie made one last-ditch effort to reach Jackson.
"Love, I promise I'll tell you every single detail. I won't leave anything out. You don't need to do this."
He didn't want her to. There was a big difference between knowing someone had invaded and wrecked your own personal space and seeing that defacement for yourself. Even though he had been prepared for the scene by Lily, who had let herself into Jackson's apartment last night to leave her some milk, bread, and other little bits for when she got back the next morning, the mess had knocked him for six. Hell, it had enraged him, and it wasn't even his apartment. She hadn't yet spoken a word since he revealed what had happened. A swearing, pissed-off Jackson he could deal with, but this hard, mute, unreachable version of her he didn't know how to handle. Her focus still on confronting this, Jackson held her hand out to Ollie for the key of the new lock he had fitted on the door. When he gave it to her with a sigh, she unlocked it and gave it a hard shove, making it swing open. The smell hit her first. Cracked eggs, stale milk, and other such crap, once contents of her fridge, now decorated her carpet. She might have gagged if she hadn't been prepared for it. Plenty of times she had got back to her old flat to be greeted by foul odors. Sometimes it was the smell of the blood of whoever broke inside, cutting themselves on the door or window in the process. Sometimes the sick buggers would even leave her a present by using the middle of her living room carpet as a toilet. So the smells she could overlook. Being no stranger to damaged belongings, she could even overlook the smashed vases and lamps and kitchenware, could overlook the strewn of clothes that seemed to cover the floor of every room, could overlook the overturned couch and mattress, and could shrug at the rolls of toilet paper that were scattered everywhere like garlands. It was the words smeared repeatedly all over her walls that snagged her attention. Bitch, slag, slut, die, bitch.
How do you know it's not blood?
Warren asked Ollie as he put a gentle, comforting hand on Anna's shoulder. Warren thought she was more unsettled than Jackson, who looked more curious than anything else. Oh, she was enraged, there was no denying that. But there was no fear there to be seen on her face.
Don't forget, I have plenty of scientists and lab technicians working for me. It was easy enough to get them to test it.
Why didn't Lily phone the police? Asked Anna. You said in the car that the police haven't seen this yet, and that's why the papers haven't got hold of it.
Ollie sighed.
I asked her not to. I don't think we should get the police involved.
What? How can you say that? Look around you. Whoever did this was sick.
And cowardly, muttered Jackson. Anna double blinked.
Cowardly?
Jackson turned to her. Did they have the courage to come and say any of this to my face? No. Did they leave a signature? No. There's nothing big and bad about breaking into someone's place, making a mess, and then running off, so it doesn't exactly strike fear into my heart.
Same with the letter.
Letter?
Said Connor, Anna, and Ollie.
Last Sunday, someone stuck an envelope under my window wiper. Inside was a piece of paper that said, Die, bitch.
And in her opinion, it was too much of a coincidence for it not to be the same person who did this to her apartment.
What?
Demanded Connor, Anna, and Ollie.
Will you all stop talking at the same time? It's freaky.
You got a threatening letter and didn't think to say anything?
Connor wanted to throttle her.
Where is it?
I wouldn't exactly call it threatening. Besides, it was just a little note. I binned it straight away. Come on, celebs must get things like that happening all the time.
Indeed they do,
confirmed Ollie with a sigh.
So we can assume they also did this.
Warren nodded.
And that she has a stalker.
Connor frowned, skeptical.
A stalker who doesn't make themselves known until she buggers off on holiday. Maybe he missed her. I know stalkers are normally stealthy, but they do like for their existence to be acknowledged by who they're stalking. I'm pretty sure Jax would have picked up on someone following her around.
The twist of her lips and the way she dropped her eyes bothered him.
Jax?
She scratched her head.
A couple of times I did get this feeling like I was being watched.
What? Could have just been the paparazzi,
said Warren.
Oh no, but this was different. Didn't feel right.
Connor resisted the urge to growl.
Jax, when did this happen?
Sometimes I feel it just as I was going into or leaving my apartment building. Other times it was when I was out shopping or walking Bronte.
And it didn't occur to you to tell me?
Exactly what could you have done? Besides, it doesn't have to mean anything. Being stared at and being stalked are two different things. I'm not even saying that if someone was watching me that they had anything to do with this or the stupid note.
Anna ran a hand through her hair in a movement that screamed, stressed out.
We have to phone the police. They can look for fingerprints and stuff.
Ollie sighed.
There are plenty of nutcases out there, Anna, and plenty of them fixate on someone, often a celebrity, and do crap like this. What they want is to scare, distress, and unsettle that person to get themselves some attention. It makes them feel good, clever, and powerful. A reaction of any kind only encourages them to continue. The way I like to handle things is to clean up the mess discreetly and quickly, and then keep quiet about it. The trick is to not give the nutcase what they want.
I'm sorry, but I don't see the logic in annoying a nutcase.
When they realize they haven't got themselves a reaction or any attention, they'll get bored and stop.
In theory?
I've seen it happen. Look, it's uncommon for stalkers of celebs to be violent toward them. Having said that, I still think Jackson should stay elsewhere for a while.
No one's scaring me out of my apartment, Jackson insisted sharply. Ollie appealed to her with a look.
Be smart, not stubborn.
This isn't about being stubborn. It's the principle of...
Love, you'll be leaving for the tour in a week. Your lease ends then. Will it really make that much difference to you to leave the apartment a week early? Besides, the cleaning job will take at least 2 days. He's right.
Connor stood in front of her.
I'm not saying you need to run and hide. I'm saying you don't need to give this person the satisfaction of getting near you. Make it hard for them.
Jackson could see where Connor's thoughts had led him. It wasn't Anita.
You think it's a coincidence that while you and I are away together, this happens?
Ollie frowned.
Who's Anita?
Oscar award-winning actress Anita Donovan, elaborated Anna. I agree with Connor, Jackson. It's not looking good for Anita that while the tabloids are printing photos of you and him looking all cozy...
Hold on a minute,
interrupted Ollie.
What reason would she have to do this? She didn't take it well when I ended things with her,
said Connor.
Oh, but she didn't. You're not known for your sensitivity. It's hard to be sensitive to someone who was planning to get pregnant with your kid to try to trap you into marrying them. Still, why mess up Jackson's apartment? Why not yours? Anita came to see Jax a few days ago and fed her some crap about being pregnant, hoping it would make her back off. Instead, Jack slammed the door in her face. I don't think Anita did this in a rage. I think she did it as part of a game, wanting to scare her.
That makes sense, said Warren. That's the type of thing she'd get a kick out of. Phone Dane and ask if she was out last night.
Ollie waved his hand.
We'll look into who's more responsible once we've sorted out what we're doing next. I still say we don't involve the police.
I say we do, Anna spat.
Or we'd be giving this nutcase what they want.
That's better than winding up said nutcase.
Ollie's right, sighed Jackson. Phoning the police will show that all this got to me and give this asshole the satisfaction they're hoping for. And since I can't do what I really want, which is pound their face into the ground, I'll have to settle for cheesing them off. Pleased, Ollie smiled and nodded.
A few things, though. If there are any more notes or whatever, save them. They're evidence, just in case it's something that ever goes to trial. If there's ever a time they contact you, wanting to meet up, the answer's always no. If you're ever cornered by them and need help, shout fire. That always gets people's attention, and it's a cry for help that's rarely ignored. Change any patterns you have, and maybe use a different route to get to the studio or anywhere else you regularly go. Try not to go about alone, if you can help it. You might want to change your phone numbers as well.
Don't you think that's all a bit extreme? Ignoring that, he continued.
Lily and Tony have already offered for you to have their annex again for as long as...
Anna held up her hand. No, she shouldn't be alone. Jackson, you can stay with me. Anna, no, it's fine. As much as she wasn't looking forward to being coddled by Lily and Tony, she didn't want to crowd the two lovebirds and listen to them shagging at all hours.
How about this, then? Warren and I won't do our business unless we're at his apartment.
Our business?
Echoed Warren, amused.
She's staying with me.
A hush fell over the room, and all heads turned to look at Connor. He felt defensive, though he couldn't explain why. This was obviously a day for shocks, in Jackson's opinion. She knew why Connor was making the offer. He felt guilty because he was convinced Anita was responsible and that he had brought all this on her. Jackson also knew that what Connor was offering would cost him. Up in an environment where he never had much to call his own, he was territorial about whatever was his. More than anything, he was territorial over his own personal space.
He would never let anyone pass the threshold of his room when they were in foster care. He didn't like to share that space that he had reserved as his own. He needed that distance, that special place where only he went, that place that nothing or no one could taint. She was still surprised he had taken her to his apartment that time.
Connor, it isn't your fault that this happened. Even if it was Anita, the blame would be hers, not yours.
This isn't about Anita. This is about you needing somewhere to stay.
And I can stay with Lily and Tony.
No, Jackson, please, interrupted Anna. Stay with me. I'm not going to get to see you for ages once you go on tour and...
Connor shook his head.
If you're going to be at Warren's a lot, then she'll be alone a lot, won't she?
Anna snorted at him.
You'll be at the gym all the time, so what's the difference?
I'll cut back on my training house.
Again, everyone's eyes snapped onto him, and again he felt defensive.
It's only for a week until the tour starts.
He flippantly shrugged to give emphasis to the simplicity of it all. He could tell that Jax didn't buy that he was truly comfortable with this.
If you stay anywhere else, all I'm going to do is wonder where you are and if you're all right. Then I'll end up harassing you by phoning you all the time, and if you don't answer, my imagination will run away with me like yours did today. Remember how you thought you'd crack up? This way, I'll know where you are, and I'll be there with you. Most of the time, anyway.
I couldn't ask you to cut back on your training.
You're not. I'm saying I will. For once, Jax, don't fight me.
For a long moment, they just stared at each other. He knew Jax was searching his eyes for uncertainty or uneasiness. He was confident she would see neither because there was none to be found. Eventually, she gave him one simple nod.
When you said you had to pick up a few things, I didn't think you meant that,
griped Connor as a huge Great Dane trotted inside his apartment and settled on his sofa. Jax had insisted that before going with him to his place, she needed to go shopping to stock up on some items and clothes, since most of hers had been destroyed. He'd wanted to go with her, but she had threatened to stay at Tony's if he was going to coddle her. After whining about it a little, he relented. Jackson stayed behind the threshold and shrugged. Bronte's mine. End of conversation. He threw her a pained look, but she saw the humor there. Still, she didn't walk through the door.
Connor, are you sure about this? About me staying here for the week? I swear I won't get cheesed off if...
He yanked on her wrist, bringing her crashing into his chest and swung the door shut. She let her shopping bags drop at her feet as his hands shaped her.
Why wouldn't I want this body in such easy reach for 7 old days?
You've just had it in easy reach for 4 consecutive days.
I'm greedy when it comes to you. You know that.
He regarded the bags on either side of her.
That all you got? I was expecting something like 12 bags in 10 boxes.
I don't like shopping. Anyway, I've got my suitcase of stuff from the holiday, so I don't need all that much.
Speaking of the suitcase...
It's in the bedroom.
He swatted her ass before releasing her.
Unpack your stuff wherever you want.
Oh, guess what? I bought some lovely little pink decorative cushions and ornamental candles and some tubs of jasmine-scented potpourri.
At the look of horror on his face, she burst out laughing.
That wasn't even funny.
But he was laughing with her.
You're so easy to wind up.
He shook his head, smiling as she headed to his room. He was surprised at himself. He had wondered if once Jax got here with her stuff and it all became real, he might start regretting his decision or at least feel a bit uncomfortable. But no. Not even the sight of that huge dog dominating his sofa had him second-guessing himself. He might even have been able to cope with decorative cushions for a week. Then again, maybe not. It was while she was still unpacking that Dane arrived, paying him a surprise visit. Connor sighed at the smile that Dane was trying to hide on spotting Bronte.
Warren phoned you, didn't he? Why would Warren phone me?
But his smile broke free.
All right, Warren phoned me and I had to see for myself if you were really being the Shining Knight.
I think it's supposed to be the knight in shining armor, isn't it?
Said Jackson as she caught the end of Dane's sentence on her way into the kitchen. Both he and Connor were leaning against the black marble breakfast bar.
Hello there, Jax.
Connor's brows flew upwards.
When did I say you could call her that? Oh, right, yeah. Jack's son. Sorry.
But he wasn't sorry, and Connor knew it.
I don't suppose you know where Anita was last night.
She went to bed.